Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Well, we got Carl Cannon coming up here. I need to address some soap opera misinformation because as we were recounting our celebrity crushes, I mentioned Marissa Tomei and Meg Ryan, and I said they were both on General Hospital. That is not true. And I recognized that very soon after the fact. Meg Ryan was on General Hospital, and Marissa Tomei was on As the World Turns. See, I watched both of those in the early 80s as I was addicted to soap operas. I arranged my classes at Mizzou around my soap operas. I'm not embarrassed to say that because we all kind of did that. Fred, you did it too, right?
I did too. I arranged it around Days of Our Lives.
Oh my
and then
God,
once I got out, Young and the Restless.
Thank you, Fred. And then Sue, you remembered that you had a celebrity crush, right?
Well, mine was Sean Cassidy at first because he was a Hardy Boy and had that beautiful feathered hair.
Yes.
And then I moved on to Rick Springfield, who was also
feathered
in the
hair.
Soap operas.
But you also liked feathered hair.
It was the feathered hair. It was the time.
Rick Springfield, General Hospital.
Yes.
I want to get all this straight. That's very, very important.
He looked good.
435. Unfortunately, there's still some fires raging in the Los Angeles area. We had a few new ones. One that was really bad in Ventura County near Oxnard, California. And hopefully they got some control of that, but we'll find out with our friend Brian Ping. We're going to get back into the birthright issue of constitutionality with the 14th Amendment with Ilya Shapiro in the next hour. And then don't forget, we have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. A lot of issues, including state control of St. Louis's Police Department, all the inauguration festival. We almost need 2 hours tomorrow for the roundtable. A lot of topics, and then all the regular stuff on a Friday as well. Carl Cannon back with us this afternoon, Washington Bureau Chief for Real Clear Politics. Mr. Carl Cannon, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. How you been?
I've been pretty good. You know, kind of seeing what's unfolding in our nation's capital and beyond, right? It's kind of interesting. We have a new governor here in Missouri as well.
It's drinking from a fire hose here in Washington. I think Donald Trump held more press conferences in his first 3 days in office than Biden and Kamala Harris did in the past year combined.
I don't think that's an exaggeration. I made that, you know, comment yesterday as well. He's certainly not afraid of, you know, facing the media and answering some questions. Then he was addressing the crew, you know, in Davos remotely this morning with some strong economic messages. I mentioned the, you know, the cabinet appointments are starting to get voted on. So I don't know if you have any inside information on what might succeed and what might not. John Ratcliffe, I guess, approved for the CIA director today. Anything else that you're hearing, Carl? What about Pete Hegseth?
Well, Hegseth, it's not that the starch has gone out of the Democrats exactly, but Hegseth did such a good job, and some of those his critics on that Senate, you know, Armed Forces Committee, seem so unhinged that I think my guess is that Chuck Schumer doesn't confide in me, Mark. He'd probably be better off if he did.
Yes,
but my guess is that. The one they're really looking at is Tulsi Gabbard, and the other is Bobby Kennedy Jr.
Yeah.
So that'd be my guess, is that's where the next real big fight is going to be. And there's some problem in each case with the paperwork. In Kennedy's case, I think that might be financial disclosure stuff. His family finances are very complex. And I don't know what the holdup on Tulsi Gabbard is, but I know that the Democrats, you haven't heard the last of them.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that have happened this week. And I know you've written about this. I have to start with Elon Musk. People are still talking about the so-called Nazi salute. One of the questions I asked yesterday is, let's just for a moment assume that that's what he was doing, right? He intentionally did the Nazi salute. To what end? I mean, he's a guy that's been helping Jewish hostages. Is he offering any other behavior that is, you know, white supremacist, if you will, Carl? It's baffling the way, I guess I'm not surprised the way the media's handled this, but good Lord.
I thought it was it was disquieting. It was disturbing. This Hitler thing, that they used it against Trump. Look, they used it against George W. Bush. I mean, you know, they've been using this for years. It really backfired this year. People got it made voters angry. It made them distrust the Democrats. Independent voters who I'm talking about, they had their mind made up about Trump. And what most Americans thought was that a working majority of independent voters thought was that Trump was a pretty good president, and the Democrats didn't really want to let him be president, and Biden had fallen short, and they were willing to give him a second look, and that they knew who he was, and they knew his faults, they knew his virtues, they didn't like those mean tweets and stuff. But when they called him Hitler over and over again, I think it undermined their whole regime. I think they thought, why should I know that's not true, and I know that they know it's not true, so why should I trust them on anything?
Why?
And yet,
yeah.
That hasn't gone away. Elon Musk, you know, I can't. It's just a stupid thing to do, and counterproductive, and really kind of obscene. You're talking about Adolf Hitler here.
That
just shouldn't even be part of our conversation, right?
It shouldn't be. I've always avoided the Nazi Hitler stuff. I don't like it. Look, even the the Anti-Defamation League came to his, you know, defense. And I guess what you could say is it's the usual sources. It's AOC. It's Jerry Nadler. It's some of the, you know, the nut jobs in the Senate. They're going to repeat this. And look, this is TDS. I don't think there's anything more you can say. It's Trump derangement syndrome. And I think a lot of the American people who voted for Trump, they've tuned out, right? They're not listening to this stuff.
AOC doubled down. She attacked the Anti-Defamation League. So I don't have to. I mean, she's not even a person you can take serious anymore. She thinks she cares. This is a woman who, by the way, refused to condemn Hamas, who went to these demonstrations. She now cares more about anti-Semitism than the Anti-Defamation League. That's like an old joke. You know, you're more Catholic than the Pope.
Right.
So you had the ADL and Bibi Netanyahu both said this was not an Nazi salute, and Elon Musk is not an anti-Semite. That should be the end of the conversation.
Well, to a certain extent, I think that in a lot of the real world, it was. I mean, certainly not on CNN, et cetera. And then there's, you know, let me get your take your temperature here on J6 and the pardons. On the one hand, I have troubles with a lot of what Biden did. In particular, I think he pardoned an FBI killer. But I wasn't crazy about all the J6 pardons. And I don't know if the promises were kept to not, you know, make sure that those who participated in violence that day were kept behind bars. Now, on the other hand, Carl, I've looked at some of these sentences, and I've looked at sentences here in St. Louis of violent offenders who aren't even close to, you know, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20-year sentences. So I do have mixed feelings on that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, I'll mention two things about it, Mark, and I agree with you, but I have mixed feelings too. But in this case, it was quite clear that the Justice Department had been weaponized against these defendants. And there were Julie Kelly wrote about it for Real Clear Investigations. There you had these cases where people wandering through the Capitol for 8 minutes who didn't hurt anybody are given 2 years in prison. And the judges, you know, routinely accepted every motion by the government, denied every motion by the defense, allowed them to play 22 minutes of videotape of the riot at the Capitol for all these defendants who had nothing to do with it. If you went to trial, if you dared to go to trial, the government punished you. These judges used an Enron statute about shredding documents to load up the case. They overcharged these people. It was pretty grotesque. And they gave these lengthy prison, 20 years in prison to these Oath Keeper and Proud Boys guys who weren't even there that day. And so on the one hand, I think Trump is convinced that it was manifest injustice, and I cannot say that that's wrong.
I know.
There were some,
that's the tough part.
But here's the other side of it. So as recently as last week, J.D. Vance said, well, we're not going to pardon people who were violent towards the police. So they didn't stick with that. Well, what happened in the meantime? Well, Joe Biden pardoned 2,500 drug dealers, right?
Yeah.
Now, they said they were not, was it 2,559? I can't remember. It was more than 1,000. They said they were nonviolent. Well, they didn't go through those case by case any more than Trump did. They just looked at the charges, and often these charges are dropped down. Often these are violent people. And Mark, maybe this is personal with me, and I shouldn't even talk about it, but my nephew, was killed by a heroin dealer. He was sold, and he died of a drug overdose. And that guy was never even prosecuted. We've sort of lost the plot on this. But are drug dealers who are dealing fentanyl to teenagers, is that much better than guys who slug the policemen? I submit to you, no.
Yeah. Well, look, we've got a situation here in St. Louis. Luckily, it's correcting itself. We had this terrible, you're probably familiar with some of it, Kim Gardner, a former prosecutor. There were literally thousands of felony cases that she just chose not to, prosecute. And these are some of the violent felonies. So, we've had a situation in St. Louis where a lot of people have gone unpunished, and that has been replicated. We know that in L.A. and Chicago and some of these other big cities as well. Carl Cannon is here from Real Clear Politics. Let's talk about journalism. You wrote about journalism, you admitted, and we've talked about this before. You said you're worried about the state of journalism in our country. Let me share a quick story with you and get your opinion here, because about 2 months ago, maybe 6-7 weeks ago, it was before Christmas, I had a listener that reached out, Carl, and said, hey, and I went to the University of Missouri. I graduated in 1986 from the J School. I was there in Columbia for many years. I had relationships with my alma mater for a long time. Those have kind of vanished because of politics. But anyway, guy reaches out. He says, I've got this amazing audio from the day after the election from a journalism class at the University of Missouri. And the father and the son want you to hear this. They're okay with you using it. So I listened to it. The first 2 minutes, it's the professor, it's a documentary filmmaking course, says something like capitalism is idiotic, and then he goes on and it's this big rant. So I listened to it and I was about to play it. The father kind of freaked out and he prevented me. He asked me not to play it. So I cooperated. But in the meantime, I had reached out to the dean of the journalism school at the University of Missouri, David Kerpius. Mm-hmm. I didn't know him. And I said, hey, in fairness to my alma mater, I think you should be aware that I may talk about this. He reached out to me. He was putting out a fire, Carl. So he was doing his job. I appreciate that. But we had a conversation about something that you mentioned in your column. And that is, we always hear about diversity, right? But we talked about viewpoint diversity. And the dean was relatively open to say that that's something that he feels is important. I'm going to follow up with him here in a couple of weeks. He's invited me to come to the J School and visit. And I want to hold his feet to the fire on that. But that's so important. And it's something we don't have right now, viewpoint diversity.
Well, and that's right. And we wonder, when Hamas invades Israel and commits all these hideous war crimes. And then these people come and they demonstrate, these kids. And we're shocked, not that they're demonstrating, that they're demonstrating on the wrong side.
Yeah.
You think, okay, where did that happen? Well, who taught them that? Well, we know who taught them that. They're teachers, they're high school teachers and they're college teachers. That's who taught them that. And, it's time to get a handle on this. And to have these tenured professors who claim to, who aren't out in the real world, who claim to be socialists, who take the tax, taxpayers' dollars, right?
Well, that's right.
The jokes write themselves. I just think that this point that you made, diversity, viewpoint diversity, it's what we need in colleges, in these faculty lounges, it's what we need in newsrooms. And if we get that, a lot of these, this pendulum starts to swing back towards the middle where it belongs.
Well, and, I would even say, I use this as an example, and this is where I kind of struggle, as a talk show host, because I am interested in the other opinions. I read a lot of other opinions, but, in the situation here with the pardons, let me use that as an example, because I get curious. I listened to CNN on Tuesday on my way home, and all they were talking about was, J6, right? And even last night, same thing, J6. So they act like there's no Biden pardons whatsoever. Over on Fox, to a certain extent, they act like there's no J6 pardons, right? So you don't have, and this is where with the main networks in particular, I struggle, because where can you get you know, maybe that kind of journalism is gone, Carl, but can you get information that is at least accurate? I don't know.
Well, this is, look, this is a problem. And part of the problem is economic. You know, the business model of journalism when you and I were young, Mark,
very different.
And, you know, we had all these reporters. We go out and we just get the story. We let the chips fall if they may. And now they don't have enough reporters to even gather the news. And they found out that, you know, CNN found out it's a lot cheaper just to hire people to sit around and pontificate than go cover, you know, cover wars, cover foreign capitals, staff bureaus, get the news. Gathering news is expensive. And part of the big problem here, we haven't quite come up with a business model yet that works.
Yeah. Well, we're in a challenging period, but in the meantime, we do have Real Clear Politics, and you know how much of a fan I am of that. Carl Cannon, always great to have you on. We're not going to have any trouble in the coming months, years, filling columns and filling airtime, will we?
No, sir. You call me anytime.
All right, take care, Carl. We'll see you.
All right.
Get more at 971talk.com.